Welcome to Cutting It Straight, where the issues and concerns of our times are examined in the light of the Word of God. Well, hello, and welcome to Cutting It Straight. My name is Nikita Warden. I'm your host for this evening. And as always, we have with us Pastor Bruce David Bell, who is the pastor of Berean Bible Fellowship here in Richmond, Virginia. Pastor Bruce, good evening.
Good evening. Thank you for having me back again.
Absolutely. We wouldn't think of having this show without you, without you in it.
Well, I'm glad to be here.
Good. And tonight's conversation is concerning a topic that is very, very much conflicting and confusing within the Christian world, and that is water or no water, understanding baptism. So, Pastor Bruce, do you think you could give us a little contextual beginning on this particular topic?
Okay. The verse that comes to mind is 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. And there the Apostle Paul makes a very interesting statement. He said, Christ had sent him not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. So Paul differentiated baptism from the gospel. As important as baptism is, it is not the gospel. It is not salvation. And I think that's where the confusion comes in, because people want to equate baptism somehow with salvation. Hopefully tonight we can unravel some of the misconceptions concerning that.
Yeah, well, let's get into that.
Okay.
Maybe first we could kind of start with where baptism first originated.
Baptism originated with the Hebrews, we're told, and it originated when someone who was a Gentile, a pagan, wanted to become a Jew. They went through a process, a ceremony, and the ceremony had three parts to it. The first part was circumcision. And with circumcision, they identified themselves with the nation of Israel. But there was also a spiritual statement being made there that in the cutting of the flesh, God was telling the nation of Israel and telling all of us that sin needs to be cut away. And sin is an integral part of who we are. In conception, every child that is born is conceived in sin. So that's the picture there. The next part of the ceremony was baptism. And in baptism, the Gentile, the proselyte, went under the water. And by doing so, he was saying, or she was saying, I am no longer a Gentile. I am no longer a pagan. I have died to that way of life, being under the water, and coming out of the water, the person was saying, I am now a Jew. I am a new person. I am a follower of the one true God. The third part to the ceremony, this new convert was brought to the temple, and an animal sacrifice was made, and some of that blood was sprinkled on this new convert. The idea being, the animal died as a sacrifice in place of that person, and the blood being sprinkled on the person was an indication that there needed to be a daily cleansing from sin. Wow. That is how baptism originated.
So when John the Baptist was baptizing,
yes,
the Jews were well familiar with what he was doing and the reason behind that.
They were familiar with it, but they were not the ones who were being baptized.
Right.
Gentiles were being baptized. So he reversed what their perception was of baptism. He said they needed to be baptized. And that was called a baptism of repentance. John the baptizer said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He was letting them know that the Messiah was on the way. In fact, he was on earth. and they needed to be prepared for his arrival by forsaking their sin. By going under the water, they were saying, I'm not counting on the fact that I am a Jew, so I have access into the kingdom of heaven. Mm-hmm. But I am saying I need to be cleansed of my sin. And as they come out of the water, they are saying, I am now ready. I repent of my sin. I turn away from it, and I wait for the Messiah to come.
Wow, great. Now, the word baptism, where does that originate from, and what does that mean exactly?
Okay. The word baptism is from a Greek word. There's two, actually. There's bapto and baptizo, and they both, as the word sounds, mean baptism. Mm-hmm. But it's not a translation. It's a transliteration. In other words, the Greek and the English are the same words.
Okay.
If you wanted to translate the word baptism or baptizo or bapto, you would translate it as immersion or submerging. Outside of the word of God, it was used by the Greeks to describe a ship that had been baptized or sunk under the water. That creates confusion for us because when we see the word baptized, we have certain thoughts in mind. If we wanted to actually translate it, we should change it to either submerge or immersed. The other issue I see is that it doesn't always refer to water baptism. Mm-hmm. It means to be immersed in something. For example, if we are baptized into Christ, we are immersed in him. Mm-hmm. So that has nothing to do with water baptism, which has created some confusion, I believe, in understanding the scriptures.
All right. So now in the world that there, well, in the Christian world, there is the issue of whether or not salvation comes from faith alone or from being baptized.
Okay.
So maybe you can clear up that particular issue.
Well, then so that's a good point. Let's talk about why Jesus was baptized.
Okay.
If you recall, he came to John the Baptizer and wanted John to baptize him. And John said, I have need to be baptized by you.
Right.
And what was Jesus' answer? He said, let it be this way for now. We must fulfill all righteousness, mm-hmm. the righteousness of God. Well, how did Jesus fulfill the righteousness of God? He died on a cross to pay for our sin, and he satisfied the righteousness that God demands for our forgiveness. Mm. By submerging, going under the water, Jesus was picturing his own death. When he came out of the water, he was picturing his resurrection, mm-hmm. that he was alive from the dead. The question then becomes, so why do we get baptized?
Right.
Okay. Well, we get baptized, number one, because Jesus commanded us to be baptized. Number two, we are identifying ourselves with his death and his resurrection, and we are saying, I have no life apart from Christ. I have died with him. Mm. And when I come up out of the water, I am saying, I am a new creation in Christ.
Amen.
Okay, again, a picture of what has taken place in our hearts. Baptism is not salvation, mm-hmm. but baptism pictures the salvation that we have.
Salvation comes first.
Yes.
Baptism is the result of us being saved, in a sense.
That's true. What did Jesus say at the end of Matthew 28? He said, go into all the world, mm-hmm. right? Preach the gospel and baptize, make followers mm-hmm. and baptize them. The followers have already made a profession of faith, then baptize them as the visual picture of what's taken place in their hearts,
okay.
in their lives.
So is baptism a command that Christ left for us to be obedient to? Or is it
yes.
something that maybe some people want to do, but don't necessarily have to do?
Well, it is a command, as we just said. Matthew 28 makes that very clear. And it is probably one of the most basic commands that he's given to us. Mm. And if we can't follow that command, what makes us think we'll follow any other command that he has for us? So every believer, those who truly are born again, those who have come to Christ for salvation, need to be baptized as believers. Mm. Problem is, a lot of believers aren't baptized, have never been baptized, don't see the need to be baptized. Maybe they've been saved and been Christians for so long, they feel embarrassed about being baptized.
But we should be obedient and be baptized as Christ
commanded us. That is correct. That is correct. Maybe they're living in sin and don't want to be baptized because along with the fact they're living in sin, they don't want to be hypocritical by publicly stating their faith in Christ.
Okay.
So a lot of reasons why people don't become baptized. And then you have the other side of that, where those many who don't belong to Christ are baptized because that's what's taught within the church that they go to, either as an infant or even later. But none of that is scriptural.
Baptism, as you defined it, is a total immersion.
That is correct.
So those who are baptized by being sprinkled with water or whatever, they are not really following the full meaning of baptism and the correct process of baptism.
That's correct. It talked when Jesus was baptized, it says he went down into the water and he came up out of the water. Therefore, he was immersed in the water. And I think the other key to this is the word baptism itself, or bapto, baptizo in the Greek, is in what's called the passive form. It's something that is done to you. It's not something where you are immersed into it, not something put onto you. So just by the nature of the word itself would steer us towards being submerged under the water. Of course, some people don't want to be baptized because they don't want to get their hair wet. But there's a lot of reasons why people choose not to be baptized.
So when a particular church baptizes a infant that the parents may want their child baptized or believe that they, you know, should be baptized, doesn't the child have to be of a certain age to be able to know what he or she is doing and to be able to understand what is being done?
Again, baptism is always what we would call believer's baptism. You have to be a follower of Jesus Christ. If you are not, you're just getting that person wet. Nothing else.
Okay. So what, maybe you can go into the spiritual significance of baptism and why we do it and why Christ commanded us to do that.
Okay. Again, as I said, there's really two parts to this. Visually, we are telling the world what has already happened to us. We belong to Christ. We have died. We identify ourselves with him in his death and identify ourselves with the new life that we have in him. But we are also saying, I have no life of my own. Not only are we saying what's happened, we are saying, I have died. I am no longer the same person. And we come out of the water, and what we're saying is, I am a new creature, a new creation in Christ.
Wow. So, yes. So that basically means that you're kind of killing the old man.
The old man is dead.
Here comes the new man coming up.
That's right. That's the picture. God is very gracious to give us pictures. And this is what baptism is. It's a picture. It's a command to be obedient, but it is a picture. It has nothing to do with salvation itself. Salvation has already taken place in our lives.
So baptism is like an outward outpouring of an inward of action.
That is correct. That's exactly what it is. It's something that we are doing outwardly to show what has taken place within our heart.
And so it lets everyone else know that a change has been made inside of me.
Yes.
I'm a different person. Exactly. And you basically are letting the whole world know that.
Yes.
Now, in this country, of course, it's okay to do that. It's right to do that. But I guess in certain other countries or different parts of the world, baptizing could have a negative effect.
That is correct.
Depending upon where you are.
Yes. To be baptized, you are publicly declaring who you are, and that could have detrimental effects if you're in a country that is hostile towards Christianity. Mm-hmm. So yes, it requires a decision on the part of those people in that country to do that.
Right. Do you think, or is there anything else that you think you've missed or anything else that you wanted to express regarding the state of baptism, in at least in Christianity?
I think part of another problem that I see is that people equate baptism somehow with the Spirit of God either indwelling us or filling us. Mm-hmm. The Spirit of God indwells us when we are saved. Romans chapter 8, if you don't have the Spirit of God, you don't belong to Him.
Right.
So when were you saved? When you made that decision to follow Christ. This is prior to your baptism. Mm. So you already have the Spirit of God living within you.
And that's an instantaneous thing, isn't it?
Instantaneous, that is right. He indwells us. He stays within us. Mm-hmm. He doesn't go anywhere. But in the course of our life as Christians, we are told to be filled with the Spirit. Mm-hmm. Now, that's not something that takes place at baptism. It takes place throughout our entire Christian life. Acts chapter 2, Peter, it says, was filled with the Spirit. Mm-hmm. Acts chapter 4, he preached a sermon, and it says he was filled with the Spirit. So the filling, the overflowing of the Spirit within us is something that takes place through our entire lives. Mm-hmm. Some people want to make that an event that happens at baptism, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and that is just not the case.
So a lot of times when that happens, or I've seen it happen, it's almost a emotional type of outpouring.
It's emotional. Baptism can be very emotional. Yeah, it can be. But that has nothing to do with the Spirit of God either indwelling us mm-hmm. or filling us. So while we're talking about that, let's just digress for a minute.
Sure.
What does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? Good question, right? Yeah. We're told to be filled with the Spirit.
Right.
So it's something that I'm involved with. I guess it's Ephesians, right? Chapter 5 talks about be filled with the Spirit, mm-hmm. speaking in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Right. Okay, that's fine. Colossians chapter 3 talks about being filled with the Word of God, and uses the same wording, speaking in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Mm. That would tell us that being filled with the Spirit must have something to do with being filled with the Word of God. Mm. Do you want to be filled with the Spirit? Be filled with the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit will use the Word, and He will use us to reach out to the world.
Wow, that's wonderful. That's great.
Yeah. So but the baptism part, it's difficult because some people look forward to baptism because they think it will give them an additional outpouring of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. And we don't see any evidence of that in Scripture.
So do you think some people maybe don't want to get baptized, one, because they've gotten older. They may feel that, I'm too old to be baptized. Well, I don't want to go under the water now.
Right.
But there is no particular time that you should not, that you should always, you should be baptized if you haven't been and you've given your life to Christ.
Right.
You should be at any particular time.
That is
true. Of course, the best time is right after you've given your life to Him.
Yes.
But if that can't be done, it should be as soon as possible thereafter, right?
Scripturally, every time people were converted, became Christians,
right.
Peter preached a sermon. It said 3,000 saved, 3,000 were baptized. In the city of Philippi, a jailer and his family were all saved and converted. It says they were all baptized that same night.
Right.
So normally, scripturally, that's what took place, but that's not always something that can happen in our culture or maybe in some other cultures. Mm-hmm. But as soon as possible, I would say, get baptized.
Right. Okay. Is there anything else on some closing remarks or closing statement that you want to make that to kind of tie everything up?
I would say ask the Lord to give you an understanding of the need to be baptized, if you're a believer and you haven't been baptized, as an act of obedience. And I think that will set you or set anyone on the right path as a believer, because it will then be the desire of your heart to be obedient in other things, mm-hmm. as well as baptism.
Excellent. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And this is the end of this particular conversation regarding baptism. I hope that you have come to understand a little better what baptism is and why it is necessary for the believer to be baptized. Before we go, though, I would like to make you aware of our website, bbfva.org. There's a wealth of ministerial information there. We've got Bible stories there for youth as well as adults. We have over 500 sermons that are on our website and other places where you can see those as well. There's just pictures of different things. We have just a wealth of things there. So we invite you to visit the website. And again, that's www.bbfva.org. Please go in, take a look at things, and just ask any questions that you may have. Send us an email, and we'll try to answer any questions that come out of your viewing our material. So on behalf of Pastor Bruce, I'd like to thank you for joining us. We say God bless and good night.
Amen.